Hey everyone, welcome to Talk That Talk podcast. I'm your host Brittany and I'm so glad you're here. Everyone has a story and everyone's story matters. Join me as I talk on the real each week with my guests and share their stories in order to bring you hope, encouragement, and inspiration. You are listening to episode 5 today with Ashley Nagy. Ashley and I have been great friends since high school and it was so fun to get to talk to her. We talk a lot about her story of growing up with divorced parents and how that was hard for her. And we talk about her coming to know God through the Young Life ministry and what she was looking for life in high school and throughout college. We talk a lot about the post-grad life. So for all you post-grads out there, I think you'll relate to a lot in this episode. She shares about the adjustment of adulthood and of expectations not being met and of the struggles of learning what you want to do with your life and how to take care of yourself. And she's married to her husband Ty, so we talk a lot about marriage and how hard it is and the things that she's learned through being married and what all that God has taught her through being married. And it's so good. She talks a lot about being discontent and the secret to contentment. And you guys, if you're in a season right now where you're feeling discontent or disappointed about where your life is right now, you really need to listen to this because she has so many good things to say. I know I was really encouraged by her because I am currently struggling with discontent and I just took her words to heart and was so encouraged by them. So you guys, I really hope that you enjoy this episode. And without further ado, here is my conversation with Ashley. Enjoy.
Hey, Brittany.
What's up? It's weird to call you Ashley, actually.
I don't get called that a lot.
I know. I'm not used to calling you Ashley.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Okay, Ash. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited. Of course. I'm excited too. I'm excited for people to hear from you. Ashley and I have been friends since ninth grade
Spanish class.
Ninth grade Spanish class. Yes. Oh man. All the way back in junior high. That was when ninth grade was still junior high.
Yeah.
And Ashley and I, yeah, we're friends all throughout high school and are still friends. We were like attached at the hip all through high school, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was good to have a friend like you through those years and still, but those years are hard.
Yeah, they were.
And I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit. But for people who are listening that don't know you, why don't you tell us just a little bit about who you are and what you're doing these days and what you're up to?
Okay. Well, like she said, I'm Ashley, and I used to live in Pennsylvania. That's where I was born and raised, in Indiana. And then I came to WVU for college, and I got engaged and got married, and we still live here. We live in Morgantown, West Virginia. And right now, I'm an office manager for an architecture firm, and my husband works for UPS, and I am also in school full-time online for graphic design. That's really what I want to do once I start career.
Wow, so you're busy.
Yeah,
just
sure.
Just a little busy. And
yeah, just a little.
And also on the side, you have a side hustle of sorts. So you have Ashley Nagy Design, right?
Yeah. So on Instagram, like everyone else, you find stuff that you like and don't like. And I think it was a couple years ago, I saw just this modern calligraphy take storm over my Instagram feed. So I was like, I want to learn how to do this. So I bought some workbooks to learn to do modern calligraphy. And I was doing so much of it that I was like, maybe I should just make this a thing so I can actually make some money from it. And I'm basically doing that ever since. So I just do custom requests, custom orders right now just because I'm too busy to make an inventory in a store. But that would be great if that could ever happen. But I do a lot of wedding decor, newborn room decor, Christmas presents, just really anything that people want. But I really like doing that for people on the side, but it gets also really busy too.
Yeah, for sure. So if people wanted to see, you know, things, something that you made in the past, they can check you out on Instagram. And if people like want to request a special project, can they just, do they just DM you, or how does that work?
Yeah, you can DM me, or if you know me, you can text me or email me.
Cool, cool. And I'll definitely put a link to that, to Ashley's Instagram, and maybe some of her past projects in the link and in the blog post there. But okay, Ashley, so yeah. Ash, gosh, I keep calling you Ashley. It's so weird. So as you know, Talk That Talk, all about sharing stories, and I was really excited when you said that you would be willing to share your story, because in a lot of ways we have similar stories, and I mean, mm-hmm. I think that comes with growing up together and living in the same town, you know, whatever. But there's also a lot of things that are different, and things that I think a lot of listeners could relate to. So mm-hmm. why don't you just jump in and start wherever you feel like the beginning is, and go for it.
Okay. Yeah. So I grew up with divorced parents. I don't know what it's like to have parents together. They got divorced when I was 3. So that really just shapes your life and how you grow up. And like, I never had to ask my mom to be like, can I do this? And she's like, I don't know, go ask your dad. Like, it was always, I was either with one parent or the other. There was never co-parenting really.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like I really missed out, because I don't know what it's like too. So that's just how it was for me. But I didn't love the custody arrangement growing up. It's really rigid and really strict. But one of the parts of it was that every other weekend I was with my dad. And I wasn't with my dad, I was with my mom. So we would go to church when I was younger, but it didn't last long. And I'm not even really sure why we were going to church, because, I mean, we never talked about it afterwards. We definitely didn't try to implement it in our lives outside of church. It was just, I think, that, like, American thing that you do. Mm-hmm. You just go to church on Sundays, which is definitely phasing out now. But, I mean, 15 years ago, that was just normal.
Yeah.
More normal than it is now.
Right.
But, so I would go to 2 different churches every Sunday, every other Sunday, and I didn't like either one. And then sometimes we'd bounce around to churches if, like, my family didn't like what that one pastor said, so we would leave. And so I was probably, like, a preteen, maybe a little younger, when I was, like, I really don't want church anymore. And it wasn't really anything to do with not liking when I was in church. It was just more of, like, the getting up and going, because back then, churches didn't start at, like, 10, mm-hmm. like they do now. They were, like, 8:30 in the morning. It's, like, it's the weekend. I don't want to be up this early to go to church.
Right.
So I really didn't go to church again probably until college. It was a long time that I didn't go to church. And I don't think I didn't really know of a lot of churches in Indiana. Mm-hmm. I don't think, because I wasn't looking.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us, nor our friends, were really going. We had one friend that we would go with sometimes, but I would just go to be supportive, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, I guess when I started to hear about God again was when I got this random video on Facebook message about this camp, and it was Young Life camp, but I had no idea what it was, but it looked like a ton of fun, so I just wanted to go have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know any of the people that were leading the trip or who were going to be on the trip, like the adults or whatever, and I was the only one in my grid as a girl going.
Yeah, because I got the same message. And I didn't go. And I left you hanging.
Yeah. Yeah,
Molly Gongaware. Shout out to Molly. You're the reason.
But you went the next time and I didn't go. So I left you hanging.
Yeah, it's okay. Anyway, so you go. You decide to go. And I remember being like, dang, that's bold.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely not on my own will that I was going. Like, yes, I wanted to go and have some fun. But back in high school, I really wouldn't want to do anything without my real friend being on the trip with me or anywhere. So I'm just surprised that I did end up going.
That's so true.
That, you know, my mom will probably... mm-hmm. My mom was like, sure, you can go on this trip to Virginia with people I've never met for a whole week.
Mm-hmm.
But,
but that's what happened.
And I remember we got to camp, and the first day we just, like, played on all the water toys and, like, the zip line and, the, like, just different fun things to do. And I remember thinking, I remember standing there being like, wow, if my friends were here, they would love it here. Like, I can't wait for them to come.
Yeah.
So, like, because it was just pure fun. Like, mm-hmm. any age would have fun there. Well, mm-hmm. maybe not, like, geriatric people. But really, any age where you can be active, uh-huh. you would have fun there.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I remember the first night, specifically after the day of fun that I had, was, like, after dinner and everything, we would go to this place called Club, which was in this clubhouse, and we were just singing and dancing and, like, watching random skits, and they were hilarious. And then I kind of figured that something more serious was going to happen, since I wouldn't expect this camp just to be a camp of fun for, you know, like, no good reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember the speaker came out, and I was like, well, I guess I'll just listen because I'm here. I don't really have anything against sitting here and listening, but mm-hmm. I don't really care either.
Mm-hmm.
But he started talking, and I was like, wait, what? Why have I never heard it like this before?
Yeah.
Like, why did everyone complicate it so much? And, like, I went to church a decent amount of time that where I should have been introduced.
Right.
In a way I was at Young Life Camp.
Yeah.
And it definitely stirred a lot of feelings in my heart, and I was confused because I was like, I can't believe this is how life can be, and just how they presented it seemed so authentic and not, I don't know, like, conditional. It's not like, if you don't do this, then this. Mm. It was just like,
this is true.
Jesus, and here's his love for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're open to take it, or you cannot. And mm-hmm. that's a choice you can make. So I remember at the end of camp, that was the crossroads I was in. But I'll get to that later. I don't remember anything in particular.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever remembered anything in particular. I think I just remember the whole sequence
mm-hmm.
of events being understandable, which mm-hmm. never happened before.
Which is huge. That's like,
really.
Yeah. I mean, I talked about that with Quinn. And, I mean,
mm-hmm.
obviously, if you've been Young Life Camp, you've witnessed that, like, they tell the gospel in sequential order. But it's come up, like, with you and Quinn and with me, too. It's just interesting how much that does really impact you when it's laid out like that. You know, like, this is what happened, and then this is what happened, and then this is what happened, and
I agree. But so the rest of the week went on. It was super fun. I had a great time. But then they do this thing where your leaders grab you for, like, a one-on-one conversation, and, like, again, I was, like, pretty indifferent. I was, like, I'm cool to have it, but I also don't super care either. But I remember our leader was Kayla, and she was just asking me questions, like, no pressuring questions or anything, like, just asking me, just purely wanting to know where mm-hmm. I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember saying to her, like, I just figured that God was something I would spend time doing when I was older, like 90. I specifically remember saying 90. And I'm not gonna live that long. That's a very long life. Like, I'm glad I learned before I turned 90, because I might never turn 90.
Me
you
too.
Know?
Me too.
So she was just open to, like, that was my messed up theology of, this is how you follow God, and you're about to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go to heaven. Like, and I don't know where I learned that from. Maybe it was from church, or maybe it was just a
mm-hmm.
multitude of ideas. But
it was just, like,
mixed around in my head. I don't know.
When I'm on my deathbed, like, I'll accept God, and, you know, then I'll be good. I'll be good to go.
Yeah. I just figured that's what people did. Like, I didn't really know any young people or even adults who were actually Christians.
Yeah.
So think that's what I just thought, because all of the churches I went to were old people, so maybe that's where it came from.
Yeah.
But we come home from camp, and I'm super amped up. I'm like, yes, I am going to get everyone to come to Young Life. Everyone. Well,
I remember that.
We get back, and it was like a week after camp, and, well, I guess I should preface that in high school, we partied a lot, and we drank a lot, and if there was a party, like, you could count me in, I did not want to be missing out on it. I had a lot of FOMO at that point, and I didn't even know what FOMO was, but I definitely had it. So, I remember coming back from camp, and I was like, it might be difficult for my friends to want to go, just because we're into partying, and we're not into, you know, Young Life, or...
Or God, or church.
Yeah. So, I remember the first week back, there was a party, and I was like, I'm gonna go to the party, because that's where my friends are, but I'm not gonna drink. And that didn't last, either, because I was like, am I gonna be able to do this?
Yeah.
And I quickly learned that I could not, but I remember you started coming with me. You were really the only one that ever wanted to come.
And well, it's interesting.
Because we were just friends?
Yeah. Yeah, I was. Well, partly. I mean, I remember you, so I remember, like, it might have been the night you came home or the day after. I think it was, like, the day after. And I came over to your house, and... And you were like, I was like, how's camp? And you were like, it was so great. It was the best week of my life. And then you were like, and you know what's so weird is that we talked about God all week. And I was like, what? Because I was like, this is so weird. Because we had never talked about God before that. I mean, like, I don't think we ever had a conversation about, like, you know, anything kind of like spiritual ever, you know? And I was like, oh my, okay. And you just started telling me about like kind of some of the things that the speaker said to you, and you, I just remember you like rambling on and on and on and being like, it was so great, and then he said this, and then we did that, and then like, you know, I like I like want to follow God now. And I was like, who are you? And But at the same time, I was also kind of, like, interested because you seemed so happy. And I remember being like, if this is true, that, like, I want to be that happy because, I mean, I wasn't, you know, and I talked about that, like, in, when I shared my story. But I was not happy. And just seeing you being, like, genuinely joyful was intriguing to me. And, yeah, I remember going to... of all things, Bible study with you at Kayla's house. And that's when I met Kevin.
I know.
But yeah. But then I think I feel like I dragged you out of it again because, I mean, I had no intentions of stopping partying and everything like that. But I want to pause here for a second because I think for some people who are listening who maybe aren't Christians or struggle with this idea of like, you have to do this in order to be a Christian, you can't do this, you can't do that. Like, explain why you were, like, trying to battle with yourself, like, I'm not going to drink. Like, why were you having that battle? Was it to be, like, you know, because I think sometimes people from the, you know, from the outside are like, oh, Christians don't do this and they don't do that because they think they're better than everyone else. And, like, following God is just a bunch of rules. And, you know, talk to that a little bit. Does that make sense what I'm asking?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, I think, I obviously knew that we were not supposed to be drinking at age 15, 16, 17, whatever. And I knew that my mom would probably kill me if she knew that that's what I was spending my time doing. Because I also have a 9-year-old sister who at the time was a baby. And, like, every morning after a party, I would have to babysit her, and I was always so hungover. I remember one morning my mom was like, you better not be drinking at night, and I'm like, I'm not, Mom! And I just had to, like, look better coming home. But I think I had the fear of my mom instilled in me, because I did not want to get in trouble. And I just knew it was wrong. Like, it's illegal to drink under 21, and I knew that. But, like, I don't even know where our alcohol was coming. Like, I don't know how we did what we did and really never got caught.
Well, I got caught.
But I was also... Well, yeah.
I got caught but big time. Anyway.
You got caught what?
Big time. In ninth grade, when I thought it was a good idea to... When we bought our new house, but we still owned our old house, and I thought it was a good idea to throw a party in our old house, and thought that no one would notice. Yeah. Even though I, like... Mm-hmm. Oh, that was so stupid. Anyway.
It just, like... I mean, it just isn't really... Like, once you get a little bit older, you just realize how dangerous it really can be. And I'm just thankful that nothing really ever happened to us while we were... doing that. But I think it was just my mom in knowing it was wrong. And I know that I was using drinking to keep my status in high school. Like, I hated beer. I still do. And that's, like, always what we had. And I would drink it just to be in. And, and it was terrible. But, yeah, I think that's what it was. It wasn't any, like, no one was ever like, you need to stop drinking in order to do this.
Right. And I think, like, for me, part of it too was that, well, I think part of it in the beginning was I did think I needed to clean up my act. So I was like, okay, I can stop drinking and I can stop saying swear words and I can stop doing stuff with guys or whatever. And, like, that'll make me, like, more acceptable to God. But in reality, like, that's not true. Like, we can't clean ourselves up for God, and He doesn't want us to, you know? But I think, like, I also realized how just disappointing it was. Like, I was, at least for me, I felt like I was trying to numb pain, or I was trying to, keep my status, or, like, find life in, like, partying and drinking, and it just never lived up to what it was supposed to, you know? So I feel like there's this picture I think sometimes people have of, like, oh, if you become, like, if you start following God, then you're like a dog on a leash, basically, and you can try to get as close as you can to, like, the edge of the electrical fence without getting shocked, you know, that's being a Christian, when in reality, what I've come to learn is that it's the opposite. Like, life without Jesus is that, you know, and each time you get shocked when you get disappointed that something's not working for you, but actually when you give yourself to the Lord, like, it frees up, it's freedom, you know, from being disappointed from all those other things.
I agree.
So you're back from camp. This is our senior year now, and you...
Yeah, senior year.
Tried to stop kind of drinking, but then it was really hard, and you felt like you had to kind of keep your status...
Yeah, I cared way more about that. Yeah. And I was probably one of those kids that ruined Young Life for a lot of people because I was such a hypocrite. But I didn't really know that at the time. But that never changed how, like, the leaders viewed me. Like, they knew for sure. But I was always invited back. Like, regardless of where I was or what I was doing, like, they knew that me being there was better than anything else I was doing. Mm-hmm. So it didn't matter what I was doing. But I didn't think about that because I did become a leader eventually. And I just remember I would talk to some kids and they're like, yeah, I just don't want to go because of the people that go. They, like, drink on the weekends and it's just, I don't get it. And it's just so hard to explain to someone. It's like, but that's, we want people there like that. Like, in the middle of your sin, in the middle of your mess, like, you are still desired.
Yeah.
You are still welcomed at the table. Like, there's nothing you can do simultaneously in your life that's going to make you void of the gospel. Or anything like that. So it was senior year, and I always, my mom's from West Virginia, so I always kind of grew up being a mountaineer. So I always wanted to come here when it was time to come here. That's the school I chose, and I kind of phased out of Young Life. Like, I remember I signed up for the camp trip senior year, and then I was like, heck no, I'm not going. Mm-hmm. And then I canceled my spot.
You ditched me.
I did. That was such a bad friend move. Like, it's okay. I'm sorry that I did that.
It's okay.
But I remember we came to orientation, me and my mom, and there was this Young Life booth here, and she's like, do you want to go visit it? I was like, no. Gosh, I'm trying to escape this.
Yeah.
And here I come, 2 hours away, and it's still here. So she's like, let's just go talk to them. So I remember talking to them, and I was like, okay, they're nice, but I'm not going to do this. Like, I'm not interested in doing this anymore.
Mm.
So it turned sour through senior year because of my choice to, like, maintain my status. And
mm-hmm.
I just really cared about that a lot. And then coming to college kind of shook me because there are no popular people in college because I was at a school with 30,000 people and I was like, no one knows me. Like, this is not cool. Like, I want to be known by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not an option at a big school like this, really any school
that's
college.
Because so no one cares anymore.
I came down here.
Yeah.
What?
And no one really cares anymore either.
No.
You know?
No one. Yeah, it's totally different. But I remember I came down here, and I don't know if it's, like, a real statistic, but everyone always says WVU is, like, the number one party school, and I was ready to party again. Like, I was ready to just live this college life that I thought was how you're supposed to live it. So the first semester, all I did was drink, like, worse than high school, but I never grew dependence on it. I guess my only dependence on it was, like, just status again. That's only ever why I drank, and I'm really thankful it never developed into a problem or that I didn't use it for numbing pain or anything,
because it
was a lot easier to stop drinking because when I stopped caring about my status, because there was nothing else that I needed it for.
Yeah.
And then I was really not loving college like I was expecting to. And this is a school I wanted to come to for years, and I had new friends, and I was just like, why does this suck?
Mm.
Like, this is not what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And I really did not like life. It was, like, borderline hating life. I was like, what did I get myself into? I can't move home
because
I'm just not going to. I can't not come back to school. So, like, what the heck am I going to do? So, Christmas break came, come home for an entire month. And I was like, well, I don't really know what else to do with my life right now.
Mm.
So I guess I'm gonna try talking to God again, maybe, because I really didn't know what else to do. Like, when I came home, I knew that the only way to really see people was to go to a party, and I was like, I don't really want to, but I want to just
to see people,
to go, but I don't want to. Yeah, so I was very conflicted, so I was like, okay, I'm just gonna start praying, I guess. So I remember I was sitting on my bed in my room, and I had this fear, and it wasn't, I don't think, a right fear, but it was a fear enough to, like, get me moving in the right direction. But I was like, I'm pretty positive that, like, if I were to die tonight, that I wouldn't be going to heaven.
Mm.
And that really scared me.
Yeah.
Like, I was just really scared, because I think before I just thought if you're a good person, you go to heaven.
Right.
And I didn't realize that that's not how it worked.
Right.
And I think I knew that in that moment, because I was not doing anything I was all about myself. I wasn't doing anything for anyone or for God. And I was like, I'm pretty positive.
Mm-hmm.
And that scared me a lot, because you never know.
Right.
When that come. So I remember going to bed, and I was like, okay, tomorrow when I wake up, I am going to my Bible. So I did. And I came home and I read it, and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. There's some, like, good quotable things in here.
What did you read? Do you remember?
Dang. I do remember, because we get a Bible from Young Life Camp, and there were, like, but I didn't like that Bible. Like, I wanted a cool Bible. I got a pink one. But I still had that one.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the first page or whatever had, like, beginner places to read. So I just read through all the ones they had. And a lot of them were in the Gospels. But then I just started reading through a bunch of things in the New Testament, because I was kind of scared of the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I have a lot of thoughts, and I really like what I'm reading, and I want to write it down. So the next day I went and bought a Bible, or a journal, and I just started writing things down, and I did that for the whole month that I was home, and it was just a really good break. Like, I just needed a break from school, my lifestyle of living, and to just, like, get my life on a track. Like, I wasn't even on a track, but I needed to get on one, and I wanted to be on the right one. And then I remember, like, the day before we were coming back, my friends from college were like, there was this always this special on Wednesday nights at this one club I used to go to, and she was like, are we going on Wednesday, with a smiley face? And I was like, oh, I forgot that I have to go back to these people.
Yeah.
And, like, not, I was, like, in that same spot again where I was so conflicted. I'm like, how am I going to do this? Mm-hmm. Like, what the heck? How am I going
to
do this again?
Like, how am I going to live a life where I'm trying to pursue Jesus, but also, love the people in my life? And without, like you said, without becoming, like, that hypocrite, and without... And just, I think it's not even just, like... It's like living a double life, kind of, you know, like having one foot in and one foot out, and you can never fully...
Yeah, and it's so hard to maintain.
Oh, like, my gosh, yeah.
That's, it's too difficult. Like, just pick one or the other. Hopefully the God track, but I'm thankful that that's the one I was able to pick. But when I got back to college, we were all getting ready to go out, because I just didn't have the courage to be like, I don't want to do this. Like, but I did, and I remember the last shot I took before I turned 21, because I just, like, watched it go down. Like, I remember watching the alcohol just come down the glass, and I was like, I can't do this. And luckily, one of my friends got sick that night, so I was like, you know what, I'm just going to stay here with her. Sorry, guys, which I never would have done before, so I'm really thankful that that was, like, an out, since I didn't have the courage to say how I felt. And then I kind of stopped going out, and then they were like, why aren't you coming out anymore? And I told them, I was like, well, I really would like to, like, live life with Jesus, and I know that if I do this, I can't do it. And they were like, well, why can't you do both? And I was like, because I know it's not right. Like, I just knew in my heart, aside from, let's never forget that I was 18, 19. It's still illegal, like, to do it. It's not for 21-year-olds. And they were like, why are you not drinking, or whatever?
Right.
It's like, I just don't feel that I can do this the best I can if I'm going to drink and get drunk. Like, I just don't feel that that's right to do.
Yeah.
And that basically ended my friendship with them. And
yeah, I remember those girls home. Now that I was thinking, oh my gosh, this is all coming back to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I remember I sat them down I made it a big ordeal, which I don't know why I did. It probably didn't help, and I probably wasn't super loving or, like, saying it in the most gracious way, but I was just doing what I knew how to. And I knew I needed to do that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just have to, you have to take off the things that weigh you down in order to go somewhere. And that's life with Jesus, but that's life with a lot of things. Like, people struggling with addiction. It's like, you got to change your circle.
Yeah.
In order to not have that temptation. And I knew that that's where I was.
Yeah.
And then I remember after that, I was like, well, awesome. Now I have no friends, because those were my friends. And you were 2 hours away, and I was like, dang it. But I lived with my random roommate who I didn't really talk to. Like, we got along, but we didn't ever hang out. And then this girl across the hall, I was also like, well, she's just a floor mate. Well, I actually became really good friends with them. And I was like, so it was really awesome. Like, as soon as I kind of lost my friends because I wasn't drinking, I gained new friends who were like, yeah, we don't really want to drink. Like, we thought we had to too, but we don't really want to. And I was like, oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus was not in the picture. Like, I didn't bring it up. Yeah. That's why I didn't want to.
Okay.
I just remember being like, these aren't the greatest friends, and it's kind of bummer that our whole friendship was basically just based on if I was going to drink or not. And that really sucks, like, because I thought we were friends.
Yeah.
But then I became really good friends with them. And then I remember when I walked into the girls' room across the hall, her name's Gabe.
Shout out to Gabe.
Yeah, Gabe. And then I was like, wait a minute. I was like, did you do Young Life in high school? And she was like, yeah. I was like, me too! Me too! She's like, I have been wanting to go. I just didn't want to go by myself. I was like, same! Same! Let's go to Young Life together! So we started to go, like, the spring semester, and then my roommate, Sarah, she never heard of it before, but she was just coming along just for something to do, and then eventually, like, we all stuck with it, and I trained to become a leader, and I was a leader for 4 years at this high school in West Virginia, and it was a really awesome time. I loved college.
Mm-hmm.
Once I made that decision to just live my life for God, which is very unappealing to college kids because you really don't drink, you don't go out, you don't do all these things. But that I tried it, and it just didn't work for me, and I knew that. So I had the best time in college. I loved it so much. But I think one thing that I didn't realize, and I learned this after college, was how much my relationship with God depended on my college schedule.
Mm.
Because I knew I was going to be in college for 4 years. So I knew what was coming each semester. I knew the classes I was going to take.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I was still going to be leading. I knew that I would get Christmas break. Like, I didn't realize how much that helped my relationship with God, because it kept me on such a schedule. Like, I just knew what was coming next.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I graduated college, I was like, what? I don't know what's coming next. I don't think I'm going to like what's coming next. Now I have to work full time, and I really like Christmas break and spring break.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm never going to get a month off again in my life. So really breaking that college lifestyle was a hard adjustment. And not to mention, I was graduating college. I started working full time at my job before I even graduated college, which was dumb. I don't recommend. And then I was getting married at the end of the summer. So I had three huge life changes happening in the span of 3 months. And I really thought I could handle it just because I've been able to handle other things that would seem tougher.
Mm-hmm.
And then my relationship with God just kind of was not in a schedule anymore, because I had to wake up 6 o'clock and go to work, and I worked 10-hour shifts. And when I got home, that was the last thing I wanted to do, was sit down and read or pray. Like, I would just fall asleep every time. So I went on this, like, college high, and it was genuine. Like, my time with God in college was definitely genuine. I just didn't know how to adjust to full time, working full time and not being in college. And that that really suffered with my relationship with God. And honestly, to this day, 2.5 years later, I'm still trying to rebuild that damage that I just let go, where it's kind of hard to make time to spend with God when you have to go to work And I thought work would be easy because I wouldn't have to come home and, like, do anything else. But you get tired after work. Like, it's not just 8 hours of doing nothing.
Right.
Like, and it was really exhausting. And then just being newly married, like, I knew that, like, the first year of marriage was, like, super important. And I was like, I don't know how to make this important. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. And a lot of it came back to, well, I wasn't in time with the Lord like I should have been. And I knew that that's what would have helped a lot of things. And I just kind of chose not to. And I really let my tiredness take over. But I think the really cool thing about, like, my story is what I learned after college was that my story continues and that the Lord pursuing me is going to happen for the rest of my life. And it's going to ebb and flow, and there's going to be great seasons and not great seasons. And I didn't really realize that in college because it was just pretty great all the way through. So I was just expecting that to kind of be my life after, and it wasn't. I didn't adjust well to being graduated, working full-time, and getting married. Like, I really didn't, I didn't do it well. And I definitely didn't do it well in part because I wasn't spending any time with the Lord like I should have been. But I think it's just cool that it's not over.
Yeah.
It's not over when I met him, and it doesn't end there.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to end once eternity begins. And I think that's something to look forward to in the midst of all the struggles.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, like, what misconceptions about marriage did you have before that were kind of broken as you entered into it? And, like, what have you been learning so far in your going on 3 years of marriage now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are some of the big takeaways you've learned so far?
So I learned, actually not too long ago, probably like a month ago, that our dating relationship, we dated for about 2 years before we got married. Well, once it was all said and done, up to the wedding.
Right.
I didn't realize that our relationship was so lust-filled. And that just creates a fantasy and an unrealistic expectation of what actually living life with someone is like. Because we were just, like, so in love the whole time. And, like, I was so excited. And Ty, my husband, he was my first boyfriend ever. That's also something I really struggled with throughout high school and college. Because I was like, holy cow, I have never had a boyfriend and I'm 20 years old. What the heck is going on with me? Like, what is wrong?
Yeah.
But I'm, hindsight, very thankful. Because
it saved you a lot of heartbreak.
That I didn't have. Yeah. Yeah. And probably a lot of dumb decisions.
Yes.
So, and I think with that, that just, like, made me so much more excited to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
And you're just blinded by lust a lot of the times. And you know what? We're both Christians, and that was still our focus, but dating relationships are, like, one of the hardest things.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it's just, like, how do you stop this lust that you just love each other so much, but you can't do anything about it because you're not married. So
that's hard that for a lot of hard. People. Yeah.
Yeah, and I have not met, Christian couples, I have not met a single one where it has not been a struggle. I'm not condoning it, but I'm saying it is real, and it is not because you're not in love with Jesus enough. It is a real sin, and it is rampant if you don't do anything about it. So I just learned that not too long ago.
You learned that, affected you.
Yeah, so I learned that way after we were dating, which probably would have been more helpful earlier on in the marriage knowing that, because it brought in this expectation for it to continue. And Ty and I didn't live together before we got married. So once we got married and we lived together, I was like, what? I just married a child who does not know how to clean up after herself. And I literally cannot tell you how many fights I started because of something so simple. like that. And I think I was just expecting more. Mm. And I never communicated those expectations to him to the extent of how I felt about them. And we had pre-marriage counseling, which I recommend, and it was great. But nothing prepares you for marriage until you're in it, because it is one of a kind.
Yeah.
You know, it was really hard. The first year was, it was hard, and I was the only one working because Ty was still in school. So I just kind of felt weird because I was like, I don't want to be the provider. Like, I don't like doing this. Like, I still want to work. Like, I don't want to be the one bringing home all the money.
Yeah.
And I, mind you, I was not bringing home a lot of money. It was barely anything, which also added
a lot of stress. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I was like, I'm the only one working, and I'm barely making any money for us. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I just know that my preference is to not be the one who provides. Like, mm-hmm. I'll help, but I don't want to be that person who provides.
Mm.
And I just learned that from my circumstances of having to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So year two of our marriage was even harder.
Mm.
And I think I was expecting it to get easier because everyone puts so much emphasis on you really got to take care of first year of your marriage. It's so important. It sets the stage for so much. And it really does. Like, it really does. And I wish we would have paid more attention to that. But like I said, I was going through so many adjustments that I didn't know how to attention to what I needed to pay attention
to. You probably didn't even know how to pay attention to yourself and your own individual needs, let alone the needs of another human being simultaneously.
I know. Like,
that's a lot to deal
with. Yeah, I would recommend not getting married when you are going through several other life changes, just because they're all going to collide, and it's like, you're like a deer in the headlights. It's like, what do I focus on? Everything's changing.
New. Yeah.
Yeah, that was hard. And I think we thought we knew how to fight well when we were dating, because obviously we had some fights when we were dating, but nothing like we have had when you're married, because you have finances. And then there's also other things like sex. You fight about sex. You fight about the thing that you like wanted so bad. You just fight about literally so many things. Like, I got mad that his clothes were on the floor, and that started so many fights. Like, and we didn't fight about any of those when we were dating because we didn't have to deal with those.
Yeah.
And
I
don't think we knew how to fight really. And I think we're still learning how to fight well because we just didn't do it well for so long. And it kind of created this habit of defensiveness and like, I'm right and I'm going to stay right. And it's like, you just can't be that way when you live with someone and you are unified with someone. So it's definitely, like, I can see how great marriage is, and it is great. Like, it's such a cool thing to do. Like, I get to live with my best friend all the time. I always have someone to talk to or text or, like, send stupid Snapchats to, who are always going to respond, and I'm not going to feel like an idiot for sending something dumb, like, or just, like, always a date to go somewhere, like, and just someone to live life with through the ups and downs. Like, it's really an amazing thing to get to do, but I think we're getting there.
Yeah. Like,
it's hard to get there, because I don't think you realize how many problems you bring into a marriage.
Right, how much baggage.
Even if they're not with each other.
Right.
Yeah. So you have to learn how to work through those, because I'm 24 now, almost 25, and I've realized that how people are raised really show in this part of your life.
Really?
Like, how you grew up as a kid.
Yeah.
It's really evident at this point in your life, because then it's like, well, why am I picking up your clothes? I never had anyone do that for me. I did that. Right. And that's why it was such a problem, because I was like, those are yours. I'm not doing that.
But he grew up with that.
Yeah. So, and, like, I wasn't appreciative that's how he grew up. And that's okay. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah. I just didn't like it because I always had to do that for myself and I didn't want to do it for anyone else because it's not my responsibility, you know? But you got to be a team and sometimes you just got to not get upset about things like that that can cause
So how do you
problems that don't need to be there?
How do you pick your battles? Like, how do you pick what really needs to be confronted and, like, what needs to be fought about?
I don't know, really. We're still learning how to do that, too. Like,
yeah,
I've learned that my wants are not the most important thing in the world, and they're not more important than his. And I think for the first solid year and a half, 2 years, that's how my mindset was. And
yeah,
I felt like I needed more since I was the only one working. So I kind of, and there's also this expectation I didn't communicate where I was like, well, I'm working. I deserve to come home and have the dishes done. And like, I don't need to do that because I was the one working,
right?
You know, like I just didn't have a good mindset of the circumstances we were in.
Yeah.
But I think I've learned now that my wants are not more important than his, and that I want to care about what he wants too and what he needs. And that just really wasn't on my radar. So sometimes I just have to quiet the things that, like some pet peeves, you know? Like, those are, it's not his fault. That's my problem with him, you know? It's like, that's not his fault that he's that way. And it's like, I have to learn that just because it's my problem with him doesn't mean it's bad.
Right, like there's a difference between being annoyed with the way that someone is and confronting a situation that is actually hurtful to you. And that's not good for the other person. It's, you know, it's not good for the marriage. Like, you have to like, you have to weigh the problems, I guess. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Dang.
So, we definitely don't fight as much as we used to. Because I think, I mean, we're growing. We're learning that you can't just fight whenever you're mad about something. That's a terrible way to live.
Yeah.
And it's so divisive. And I kind of thought that that's, I think it's how I grew up. I used to fight with my dad all the time. So I think it was just, like, instilled in me.
Like, you just like, fight when you're mad. If you're mad,
you fight. And that's what I mean. Like, I grew up that way. And it's affecting me more than it ever has at this point in my life. So it's, like, it's just, it's kind of weird how you grow up really does affect you when you're an adult. Like, it changes how you live.
Yeah. Gosh. What do you think that you've learned about God since you got married? Or, like, what are the big things?
I think that I've learned that it's not all about me. And not to pursue that kind of thinking. That, like, whatever I'm going through or whatever struggle is happening, that, like, I'm not alone in it, and that I can go to Jesus with those things because he struggled in so many ways on earth. And while, granted, he wasn't married, it doesn't change the fact that he still knows how to struggle in the ways I've struggled, regardless if it's marriage or not. Right. And I think that I've learned that I really can go to him about literally anything, even if I feel weird about it. Like, even if it doesn't seem like I should be, or like if it's a problem, it's like, no, I can. I really can.
Yeah.
And he's going to understand. And, you know, he's going to help me through it in his way and in his timing, which is something I've also learned is that my timeline is so off from what he wants. Like, at this point in our marriage, if when we were engaged, like year three, I would have said, like, oh, yeah, we're probably going to be great. And like, growing so much and like so in love, so like
you're gonna have the dream job to, like, and he's gonna have the dream job and you're gonna be raking in the dough and
so I've learned that even with the growth in our marriage, it's not on my time.
Right.
Like, we've struggled in the way we've struggled for a reason, and I'm thankful because I've learned a lot, but I'm also super excited for when I get to help someone else who's going through that. Because it's like,
yeah,
just be patient. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it's hard. It is so hard. But just be patient because you never know what's on the other side. And yeah, it could take years. It has taken years. And it's still going to take a while. But, like, I'm okay with that because it's going to work out better that way than right. if I were going to try and do it on my own.
I feel like your story is a continual realization of the fact that, like, God is the one who's going to meet your needs. You know, like, in high school.
Yeah.
Learning that being popular and, like, having this certain status isn't going to give you what you need. It's a relationship with God. And then graduating college and getting married, realizing that, like, a relationship with a guy, which was something that you desired for so long, wasn't going to give you what you needed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a relationship with God. But I also think it's really cool that, I mean, I think it's so easy for, like, us to just give up on people and give up on relationships and to just only see mm-hmm. the bad in others. And while, like, it's not easy for you and Ty right now, and it's been hard 2.5 years, like,
mm-hmm.
You both are willing to fight through the struggles and the hard things, and I think it's just a really cool picture of how God pursues us. Like you said, it doesn't just stop when you meet him. It continues. The story continues, and your and Ty's story is continuing, and I just think that's a cool picture of how God loves us in such a more obviously perfect way than we, you know, human beings can love each other. But I just think that your commitment and your willingness to forgive and to learn and to grow and to be humble enough to say, like, yeah, this is where I fall short, you know, and not placing all the blame on someone else. It's so easy to do. So to end, I guess I just wanted to ask, like, if you could share something, like you said, you know, you can't wait to help someone else in that situation,
mm-hmm.
what would be one thing that you would want to say to someone who, that, you know, maybe they're in a marriage and they're struggling right now, or maybe they're not married, but they are just in a place of life where they're really discontent, you know, just things are not going the way they want, and what they thought was going to be really awesome turned out to be really, really hard, and nothing's happening on their timeline. Mm-hmm. Like, what would you want to say to people who are kind of in a place like that in life right now?
I would say, even if the circumstances were to change to what you want, you're still going to be discontent.
Hmm.
I think you really learn contentment from not getting what you want and learning how to be content when you don't have what you want. Because then when you do get what you want, it's like, okay, I don't see as many problems with this. Because I've seen that in my life so many ways. It's like, okay, once we get married, we're not going to struggle with sexual sin as much anymore. And it's like, yeah, that's true, because it's not a sin anymore. But we've struggled in different ways. It's like, just getting to what you want isn't going to be what contentment is. That's not how to get it. That's not how to attain it. And that's not how to have it for a long time. And I'm learning that a lot. I've learned that in a lot of different ways with my jobs. It's like, well, if I just get a different job, life will be better. But it's like, okay, well, once you get a different job, new problems come.
Yeah.
So it's like, getting what you want isn't the fix ever. It's just, you have to be patient enough to know that whatever you would have had planned wouldn't work out the way it did. Or it would be happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that we just have to be patient and truly trust that the Lord does know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he does have it figured out. Even if it feels like you're in the middle of a mess and or rock bottom, it's like, that's all part of it. Like,
mm-hmm.
all the things that happen are writing the story and continuing the story. And it's not going to stop until we get to eternity.
Yeah. That's really encouraging. And the secret to contentment is trusting him, right?
Yeah.
Which is a lot easier said than done. But that's a secret. Oh my gosh. So
yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I'm still learning that one too, guys. It's okay. Man.
Oh yeah, and I feel like I'm gonna be learning it for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Because just always convince yourself that somehow your way is gonna be better, but you just have it's a new learning process of like, no, it's not.
Well, especially I feel like in American culture, the grass is always greener. I mean, that's so we just totally like believe that, you know, and it's so true. Like, well, once I. You know, once I get a better job, once I make more money, once I get married, once I have kids, once I lose the weight, once I, you know, whatever it is, like,
yeah,
you're so right. Like, that's so true. Getting what we want is not the way to contentment. It's got to be something more, because getting what we want just isn't enough. There's got to be something more.
No.
Well, we have to get you back on sometime, because I feel like there's so much more we could have dove. You were a diver. What's the past tense of dive?
Oh, I don't know. I think
it's dove, right?
Dove? I think, yeah, dove.
There's so much more we could have dove into. Oh, boy. Using that college degree, baby.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, so we'll definitely have to have you back on. But thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. I'm really encouraged by it. So thank you, bud.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. All right, guys. Well, we're signing off here. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you guys for listening. If you like what you hear, head on over to iTunes and hit subscribe. Leave me a rating and a comment and tell me what you think. Reviews and ratings are how people find the show and how they decide if they want to listen. So your feedback means so much to me. If you would like to get in touch with me, you can email me at thetalkthattalkpodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. If you want to share your story and be on the show, let me know. If you have any questions or topic suggestions, again, I would love to hear from you. So give me a shout. With that, we will be back next week. Thank you again for listening. Hope you guys have a good day. We'll see ya.